Well, good morning. It's a little after 9 o'clock, as always, when we welcome in Walter Ratzi, the CEO, president of Renovco. You know the name. Big supporters of this radio station, and he's pulled up a chair. How are you this morning?
I did pull up a high chair.
Just the image of that. That's a good laugh. You know, I was just mentioning to Walter, I was asking him, I said, how do you feel about this heat on the way? And you know what I was thinking about? I always mention, in my neighborhood, there's always something being repaired. There's service trucks outside various homes, you know, working on steps, working on roofs. I got a feel for those workers who have to work outside in that heat.
You know, A few times I went up to a roof on a hot day and was looking at stuff with roofers. And you know when you have a dark shingle and then the sun is hitting, that amount of heat on that roof is unbelievable. So if you think it's hot down there, try being on a roof. You have a lot of respect for their hard work once you see what they have to go through, them and the framers. You know, when they're framing roof trusses on roof, you're working with heights. It's unbalanced. There's nothing to step on. You have to always be mindful of your surroundings. It's actually very impressive. So, you know, in order for you to appreciate someone's work, maybe put yourself in their shoes for a couple of minutes, and then you realize, you know, if you're paying them X amount of dollars per hour or for the contract, you realize that there is actually definitely worth it.
Yeah, and you feel for those workers who are on construction projects. You know, they're wearing those heavy outfits too, and standing outside in the sun, for whatever 8 hours a day, it can be tough in that heat.
You're absolutely right. It's the tools. It's the danger that is associated with it. It's the you could get a sunstroke. You could, and the same applies when they're working in colder weathers as well. So it's not just about working outside. It's just in general, construction is a hard trade to be in, and that's why we're having a serious lack of trades and labor, because a lot of the newer generation does not want to be in that field.
If you want to talk to Walter, he's here for the full hour. This is free advice. If you want to pick his brain, call now. If you have a home improvement project, something that needs to be done around the house, or you think, you know, it's on your to-do list, he can help you through it. 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800. Let's go to Matthew, who's on the line. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Bois de Filion.
Bon. What do you want to talk to Walter about?
Okay, so February, we had an issue with our heat pump. So it wasn't working properly. The furnace would always kick in. So we had a technician come out. He fixed that issue. He said it was one of the motors of the heat pump that wasn't working. But two nights ago, we turned on the AC, and we had noticed that the house wasn't cooling. So I went outside to take a look at the compressor, and I noticed the big fan isn't spinning. So my question would be, what could cause that?
Many things. But how old is the heat pump?
So it was installed in 2017, so it's still under warranty.
Okay, which is great news for you, because one of the things that it could be is, and we don't want it to be, but it could be the compressor. When you look at the line, do you see anything that is frozen? Do you see like any condensation or if the line is frozen at all?
Nope. When I inspected it, no.
Okay. The other thing is, when was the last time you changed the filter?
So the filters I change about every 2 to 3 months.
Okay. And so the filters are new. We know that for a fact. They're not dirty. They're not clogged. Because sometimes it does turn off if it overworks and then the filters are really clogged up. That could also be a simple issue to fix.
I also noticed that the compressor, it does turn on for like 5 minutes. I'm guessing it's because the fan is trying to go and it doesn't work, so it just shuts off.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, look, it could be many things. Unfortunately, we can't just diagnose it on the phone like that. But if you don't see any icicles on the line, I would call back the same guy that serviced the unit for you in the winter. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure he fixed it right, because, you know, exactly. In the winter it's not really easy to know if the heat pump is on or not, except when you look at your hydro belt, right?
Exactly. That's how we noticed.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it could be that he never fixed it right from the get-go.
One last thing, because my wife had a bad experience and we want to change companies. Do you recommend anything?
What is the brand?
It's Lennox.
Lennox. Okay, so I mean, off air, I would recommend just for, not to advertise someone. Because, I mean, anybody that we recommend is not because, it's because I have a certain feedback, especially from the listeners. Mm-hmm. So I will maybe give you a recommendation or two off air for sure.
Perfect.
Matthew, thanks for the phone call.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, let's open up that line here, 514-790-0800. Eddie is on the line. Eddie, hi.
Yeah, good morning, Walter. I have a question about my heat pump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's still working well, but it's pretty old. It was made in 2008, so it's 17 years old. And I'm thinking maybe it's time to get a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Hydro Quebec offers some kind of rebate, and I heard that this rebate is going to end soon. Do you think I should replace the heat pump before it breaks down?
And how do you heat your furnace? Is on electric as well?
Yeah, the furnace is an electric furnace. It's not too old. It's in pretty good shape.
Okay.
It's just that the heat pump is getting old.
So without a shadow of a doubt, I would tell you, go for it.
Okay.
For many, all right. many reasons. Number one, you are on electric, so you already are not getting enough from your heat pump because it's old. So minus 12, it will kick in up to minus 12. After that, it's the furnace. Once the furnace kick in, that's when you're going to be really paying the higher rates of hydro.
Okay.
The new heat pumps can go up to minus 35, which is crazy. That means 99% of the time you're going to be using that heat pump.
Okay.
So there's, and then you're right, there are subventions. Once you kick these subventions in, you're going to save a lot of money. What
okay,
I want
now,
to...
go ahead. When I get the work done...
Yeah.
Do I pay... Should I pay everything in advance and then I get the rebate later? Or
correct.
How does that work? I don't know.
Correct. So you get back a cash back from the government. The technicians from the CVC technician will actually explain you how they how things work and what is the amount that you will get back.
The technician from Hydro?
No, the technician from the company that you're going to hire, because it's all going to be based on the value of your contract and how much you spend and everything else. What I want you to be careful of is a few things that are very common. Number one would be the fact that you have an older furnace. You have to make sure that the new heat pump that you are choosing is compatible with your furnace. That's very, very important.
So I can ask the technician that. And
can ask the technician. I mean, I always like to start by if, for example, if your furnace is a certain brand, I would go with, you know, if, let's say it's a Lennox furnace, then I would go to begin with a Lennox heat pump.
All right.
There are a lot of different products out there when it comes to heat pumps, a lot of different brands.
The company I contacted, they're going to install a Gree.
Okay, I mean, it's a decent brand. But again,
right.
I don't care about what they're going to install as much as what is compatible with your furnace, right? So if you have a Lennox furnace and you're installing a Gree, and Gree is known not to be compatible, that's going to cause you a lot of problems, and you don't want that.
So you're going to pump more insulation into the attic? You know, it's an old house built in 1958.
Okay.
And I have no soffits. Some of these old houses, like mine, there's no holes where the soffits should be. They just put wood. Should I get some holes made?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You don't 100%. You need to have you need to have air circulation in your attic, because you don't want your attic to overheat. When the attic overheat, then the shingle starts curling, and you have condensation issues, and you have many, many different things. The idea with an attic, it has to be the same temperature as the outside.
Okay, so I got
The vents on the roof, I have news for you. The vents on the roof, Eddie, are useless without an intake from the soffits. Right? So it needs to have to have an intake of air. Like, you need that positive air for the air to circulate in your attic. So if these are blocked, if your soffits are blocked, then you could put 20 vents on the roof. They're doing nothing right now. They're just decorative. Yeah.
Each end of the house, each end of the attic, there's a vent.
Okay, so let's stop right there. That's also very important to mention. So this is an older system. They used to do it before, where they would do, and it's actually not a bad thing. It's not my favorite, because technically what you need, if you want the correct science behind the amount of air required in an attic, you need a 2-inch uninterrupted canalization for air to come in. Uninterrupted is very important.
Okay.
Those cross vents, they actually work to a certain extent, and that's probably why you're not getting a lot of big issues, because, I mean, you know, if you would have had a lot of condensation or a lot of heat in the attic, then the shingles would have started to curl up and cause all kinds of problems.
The shingles look okay. They look
fine.
Okay.
So that means that cross ventilation is working.
Yeah.
If you were to go above and beyond that because you want your soffits to work and it's a better system, then you're going to need to ensure 100% that these vents are shut and closed and condoned. So you don't do the soffits and the cross vents, one or the other.
Gentlemen, we're up against the clock, Eddie. We have to break for a look at traffic here. I hope that was some help for you, though, this morning.
Yeah, that was very good. Thanks very much, Walter.
My pleasure.
514-790-0800, the number to call to talk to Walter from Renovco. It is the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey from Renovco is answering your phone calls. Our number to talk to Walter is 514-790-0800. Waiting patiently on the phone is Francis. Hi, Francis.
How are you?
Very good. You want to talk about your heat pump?
Yeah. Great show, by the way. Walter, I bought the heat pump in May 2022, replaced the whole system, electric furnace heat pump, over $15,000. I had a problem during the winter time. When I would ask it to heat to 21.5 degrees, it would stop at 20 and would not keep running all day long. 22.5, it would go to 20, always a degree less, but it kept running. So I called the technician. He came in. He injected ultraviolet or some kind of liquid to allow for ultraviolet reading on it. The condenser is like a sieve. And what he explained to me is that the old Freon systems were only pressurized around something like 100 and 120 pounds, and the new systems now pressurize at over 200, causing the condenser to break down very, very quickly. Now, they only have a one-year warranty for labor, but they're covering the cost anyways. Very good service from my contractor who installed it. I'm a little bit leery about the manufacturer. They're going to be installing a new condenser. Will I be having the same problem over and over and over again?
Did the technician recommend that you change the lines?
He hasn't. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to be taking care of replacing everything. They're covering under warranty. I don't know if the lines are affected as well, but when I looked at the ultraviolet reading, the condenser was like a sieve. You could see blue everywhere. I didn't even look at the rest of the line. I would imagine it would be the same thing everywhere. Can you replace everything?
So what I would do is I would have this all in writing. So you write down to the company what happened, what you were told by their own technician before they do the repairs. And you say, because again, a lot of times when it's a lemon system that they install, and I say that word very loosely, they will service it up to the 1 year mark, and then they will start charging you. And they will charge you, if you call them five times, they're going to come and charge you five times. And then other things are going to start coming out. So if you were to document this ahead of time and you say, look, your technician came, he did some repairs, he mentioned that this is the issue. I want to make sure that I know you're coming next week. I want to make sure that you will solve this issue once and for all, because my warranty is coming to expire in a month or 2 months, whatever. That way you will keep them on the hook after the warranty. So that way, if they are going to send you someone, they're going to ensure that they're going to do everything that needs to be done before
you. Am I doing this with my installer or the manufacturer?
No, you're doing this with your installer, because the warranty is always going to come from your installer. Here's the thing. If you go straight to your manufacturer, the manufacturer could have a lot of waivers by which he can blame a lot of it on the installer. The installer cannot play the same game, because the warranty comes, he's a distributor for that manufacturer. So when someone works with Carrier or whoever, Lennox, they are a distributor for them. So they claim the parts go to them, and then they come and do the install, right? So the warranty really is from your installer. And who are you to know if it's an installation or a piece issues? More often than not, believe it or not, it's an installation rather than a parts issue. And if the parts do break down, it's because in a lot of cases, things were not installed properly. I'll give you an example. You have a lot of time the blower fan in new furnaces or in new furnaces, it actually breaks down. Now, most of the researchers have shown the reason it breaks down is because the installer does not do what you call an equipment check when they installed the machine. What does that mean? When this thing gets shipped, it goes into containers, it goes into transport trucks, so a lot of the screws and a lot of the bolts gets loose. And sometimes it's just a question of opening up the furnace, making sure that all this, the blowers are screws are in place, and you know that would solve that problem. But that's often not done. So one of the first things that breaks on new furnaces would be the blower fans, and only it's because they had loose bolts or loose screws that were not properly fastened. So that's why I'm saying you go after the installer. Let him deal with his manufacturer. Let him deal with Lennox or Carrier or whoever the brand is. And you have, and if they're gonna blame it on the manufacturer, okay, again you're gonna have a document. But even with that, it's for them to argue it off with their own distributor, with their own manufacturer, I should say. It's not for you.
Is this a known problem when they replace the Freon by a new liquid that must be pressurized at a greater degree, that the old systems would not support that?
It is, and unfortunately, that's why I say it. A lot of times, one of the things that is very ignored would be the lines. So sometimes you have to replace the lines and have a brand new installation, and that's very common that the technicians do not look at the lines. And to be quite frank with you, from a legal standpoint, they're not even guaranteeing the lines. So if the problem is with the lines, then you're gonna be stuck with the bill. So I would mention all of these things ahead of time and get them documented and make sure that you get an answer back before you let them into the house.
Francis, we have to run. Hope that was some help from Walter.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. 514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Renovco is answering your questions. We're coming back with more. We're back. Good morning. It's a home improvement show with Walter Assey from Renovco. I'm Ken Connors, and let's get right back to the phone. 514-790-0800. And we'll say good morning to Al. Al, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. And how are you doing, Ken?
I'm very good.
And Walter, good morning. I don't have a problem, but I do have a recommendation to the gentleman that just called before, the heat pump issue. I would recommend that he get a, first of all, you have to keep the filters clean. You have to make sure that the filters stay clean. You have to keep an eye on them, maybe change them more often. Second of all, in order to help clean the filters, make sure you vacuum more often in the house. That's a big one, because the filters get clean because they draw in air, because it's a closed-loop system to a certain degree. And then buy a dehumidifier. The dehumidifier will then enable you to raise the temperature in the house, because really what you're doing with the AC is you're fighting the humidity and the heat at the same time. So if the humidity is higher, you're going to lower the temperature to be more comfortable. But by getting a dehumidifier that's running on 120 instead of your AC, which is running on 220, you're going to also save energy, which means you save money, and you're going to keep the system cleaner, and that'll also help prevent the system from getting iced up because of dirt around the coils in the air exchange unit. So keep it clean, change the filter more often, get a dehumidifier, and you'll be able to raise the temperature in the house, and that way the AC on your heat pump will run less often.
So you're absolutely right about the clean part. Now, there is a misconception about the frequency of how often we change filters. 3 months is a recommendation, but it's going to boil down to how dusty your home is. Have you done any renovations?
Yeah,
do you have a return?
Cats and a dog, you've got a problem.
Correct. And some returns are in the ceiling. There's ductless returns. These create typically more dust if you have a dustless if you have a cavity full of dust. So again, it's you have to literally go into the casing and put it to the light and see how dirty or clean your filter is. Plus, the MERV on the filter also is another component. So not all the filters are created equally. Some of them are
correct,
better quality than others.
Yeah, 3M.
That's right. So that's why we say, always go to the first obvious thing. Check your filter before paying a technician, and you're absolutely right with everything else you said. Maybe we should keep you on the line, because it seems you're very knowledgeable, and all I'm getting is heat pump questions.
Yep.
Al, you might want to check the filter on that dog.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Thanks, Al.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
You too, bud.
Let's go to Glenn, who's been waiting. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. Good
morning.
I'm replacing my thermal pump. It's wall mounted. I only use it for air. I never use it heating. And so I'm trying to understand. I want to get a good quality one. I don't want a cheaper one. I had a quote for a King Home, and asked them, I heard that Mitsubishi is good, so I asked them for Mitsubishi, and then another company came in and did Agree. Well, the guy that did Agree, he says, I can't quote you Mitsubishi because only one person is allowed in certain territory, and he says, they're excellent, they're the Cadillac, but they're a little overpriced. Do you agree with that? That they're overpriced, and should you pay the extra for a Mitsubishi?
So,
and you have a recommendation of a good quality thermal pump that I should be looking at.
Mitsubishi Zuba is really one of my favorite as far as brands, for sure. They're a tad overpriced, but they're well worth it. So they're known to be very resilient. They're designed for our weather. It's, you know, the other brands are good as well, but if Mitsubishi is, in my opinion at least, you know, if this is my house, I would go with Mitsubishi for sure. I don't know how many tons you have. Is it like, what is it? It's just a split, wall-mounted split? Is that what you have, one head?
I don't. It is wall-mounted, but the question you asked, I don't know.
Okay. So it's, you know, the difference in the price is not going to be that huge. I would definitely find that distributor and just make a comparison between the two prices. Not that the other ones are not good. They're good. But I mean, you know, if it's $200 more, we have a brand that is known to have a lot less issues. They don't have as many recalls. And, you know, everybody that have them is happy with them. So, yeah, definitely I would look into that. Mm. And you know, there are other no-name brands in the market. They tend to be more problematic. They're a lot cheaper, but they all come with their own sets of problems. So it's all going to boil down to how long you're keeping the house, how often do you use it. There's a lot of questions to be asked if you want to entertain those as well.
Okay. And do you have another one? I want to keep it as long as I can. I plan to be here a long time. Do you have another one?
I mean, look, Carrier, Lennox, they all do good. They all have good products as well. They're more streamlined. Like, they're more, if you want, for the masses. But Mitsubishi is known to have designed, like, for example, the Mitsubishi Zuba was literally designed for our Canadian weather. Mm. That's why it's, you know, it does well. But yeah, I mean, all the other main brands, there's nothing bad about them. It's just, you know, you're asking if, you know, Cadillac is good and is Toyota good. They're both very good cars, but the Cadillac is still the Cadillac, right?
Okay. Is Gree and King Home considered like a Carrier and Lennox?
Gree, yes. King Home, I don't know much about them to tell you, to be quite frank, where I would place them, so.
Okay.
But Gree would be in that medium range for sure.
Okay. And Carrier and Lennox are medium range as well?
Well, Carrier and Lennox are they're more common, right? So the good thing with them being that common is that you'll always have availability of parts. You'll always have ample amount of technicians that know how to fix it. So that's a good thing with it.
They're big players, right?
They're big players. So, you know, you tend to have a lot more people that know how to fix these machines and service them. That's a good part with them.
How's that, Glenn?
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. If you want to talk to Walter, there's still plenty of time to call here on the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey from Renovco, 514-790-0800. Oh, we're back. Good morning. It's Ken alongside Walter from Renovco. 514-790-0800. If you're listening from out of town, maybe you can't call in and you need some help from Walter, you can go to your website, right, Walter? And there's a Ask Walter button.
That's correct. So for all the other markets where the show is playing that you cannot call live, I make special time for you in the Ask Walter button. You go to our website and I will ensure that I answer your question. I will get to you at one point. I don't know how fast, because we do get a lot of volume, but I will definitely get back to you.
So it's Renovco.com.
.com,
Renovco.com.
Easy peasy. Keep it simple.
514-790-0800. Let's go back to the phone here and talk to Pat. Pat, you want to talk about your chimney, no? Pat, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the radio. You want to talk to Walter about your chimney?
Yes.
Go ahead.
We had our furnace changed from oil to electric a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and so we still only have the cap on, and we've been calling people that do chimneys to see about sealing it off, but they want to take the whole chimney down, and I don't want them up on my roof because we just had a new roof put in, so I just want to have it sealed. But is there anybody that I can call that can just seal without taking the whole chimney down?
Is that necessary, Walter?
You can, definitely. I mean, yeah, it is,
or
in the sense,
fine.
I would not, you're right about not having to take your whole chimney down, because that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. That's number one. Number two is, if it goes within your roof, you're going to end up with a nice hole in the roof, and then you're going to have to call roofers, and they have to build, you know, a structure, and then, you know, your roof now is mishmash, and they can't warranty the rest of the roof, and you don't need all of that. Okay. What you need is a couple of things. You need the chimney cap. So you call chimney cap people, and they chop off the first, the last part of the liner. They seal it with the chimney cap completely. So instead of the chimney cap having any openings in it where the liners come out, it will be completely sealed. From the inside, you can even do it yourself. You can order something called a chimney balloon.
No, I'm too old to climb up there.
No. I'm not talking about the up there. I'm talking about in your own home. Because it's one thing to cap it from the top, but you also want to, you know, avoid any wind draft or downdraft or anything like that. So from the inside, now that you're not using it, you can install a chimney balloon in order to seal it.
So now we already drywalled all the basement, and we sealed all the chimney off downstairs.
Okay.
So we're looking for somebody to cap it off, but every place I call, they just want to take down the whole chimney.
No, because you're probably calling the wrong people. So what you want to call is, you could call masonry guys and tell them, you just need to change your chimney cap. And once they get there, you tell them to take out that liner and just install a chimney cap with no openings whatsoever and just seal it completely. So that's what you need. Just be precise on what you need. Don't tell them, I want to cancel my chimney. Just tell them, I want a new chimney cap and I want my liner chopped off.
Okay.
There you go, Pat. Good luck with it. Let us know how it turns out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Tony is up next. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
What are you?
I have a quick question. First of all, what kind of material would you suggest for a pool deck?
Okay. The good news for you is you don't have so much of a big choice. You have three different choices that you could choose from. You could go with a composite decking, which is essentially like wood fiber and plastic. You could go with pressure-treated wood. You could go with PVC decking, which is a fully synthetic alternative. I mean, the best but the most expensive would be the PVC type decking. The second, if you want higher price, would be the composite, and the cheapest option would be your pressure treated. The pressure treated, the only issue that you have with that is the continuous maintenance.
Right.
Whereas the PVC decking, or even the composite for that matter, it does not warp. You don't have to maintain it. It looks great for a long time. If you are going to go with that option, I would be just mindful of one thing. If you walk barefoot, try not to avoid the darker colors because it does tend to overheat.
Yeah, that was my next question. But the heating part of the composite.
You're right.
Yeah.
Lighter colors are not much of an issue. It's darker colors that overheat. And, you know, so if you avoid them, you should be fine.
Okay. Since I have you on the phone, I'd like to cover my concrete balcony with something like epoxy or something or other. Yeah. Would you suggest anything there?
Epoxy resin is my favorite as far as durability. Anything that is cement-based, I'm not a big fan of because our weather just is brutal. So nothing really lasts from a cement topping. Epoxy resin have proven that it could be resistant for a long time. And it does look great, and you have a whole bunch of different variety of colors and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely I would go with that.
There you go, Tony.
Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome. Walter, we're going to sneak in Christina. We have about 3 minutes left. Christina, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I need a question from you and some encouragement. I changed. you said to call for the heat pump, so that's why I'm calling. My heat pump was changed 2 years. No, September will be 2 years. And I changed the whole system because I've been told that it's better, the things will work better together because they are made for each other. And it was installed. Everything worked so well until about 2 weeks ago when I tried to put my heat pump on when it was hot, and that didn't work. And the technician came in 2-3 days, and finally they find out that it was the motherboard inside of the heat pump that was burned.
The motherboard?
Motherboard. And yesterday it was changed. My question, but I was charged. This system is, I have written guarantee 10 years for parts and the labor, and I was charged over $550 for those repairs, and it's written all kind of things like because the man came and diagnostic are not under guarantee, and I have to pay for the because they send the part to the manufacturer, and the difference between what manufacturer pays per hour and what they charge. Their technician charges, I find it a bit like taken for the ride.
Okay, I'm going to let Walter jump in here and offer his thoughts.
First of all, I do encourage you and I do support you.
Okay, thank you.
Christina, that is like all baloney. It's either you have a warranty or you don't. So it's like going to a car dealer and saying, you know, my car is brand new, and they tell you in the dealership, well, Mercedes head office does not pay us enough, so I'm going to charge you the difference. Mm. So that is total nonsense.
Okay.
It's either you're under warranty or you're not.
Okay.
There's nothing called gray in this, unless in their fine print they were nice enough or bad enough to put all of this fine print down. So what I would do is I would make a complaint and I would escalate. I would even go all the way to the CMMTQ if I have to, because you do have it in writing that you have a warranty on labor and material, right?
Yes. Excuse me. On my bill is written 10 years guarantee.
Labor and material?
Yes, and nothing else. And I said, when I called after the first visit, because I was charged from the very moment the monsieur came, I said, why I'm charged? They said, well, because there is a guarantee that it doesn't cover everything. And then they sent me something that I had never seen and doesn't look like it's like it has anything to do with my it's something they have it.
So try to escalate with them first, and then you can go all the way up to the CMMTQ. Just go, keep on going high up as much as you can. Let us know what happened. I'll be very very curious.
Okay, Christina. So it's not in my head,
absolutely not. You're doing the right thing,
Christina. Okay. Good luck. Let us know how it turns out.
Okay, so CM, can you repeat that? CM.
CMMTQ.
MPQ. Thank you.
TT,
so much.
Like Tom. CMMTQ.
MMTQ. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great weekend. Thank you.
Take care.
Walter, thanks for a great hour.
Always a pleasure.
Back again next Saturday morning, the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. Have a great day.